Well, hey everybody, and welcome to the online worship service at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Amanda. I'm excited to welcome you to today's online worship service, and I'm glad that you found us online and decided to worship with us today. If you're new or newer and haven't taken that next step to fill out the I'm New Here form, we invite you to do that. It's in the show notes of this episode, and you can also find that at parkridgepresby.org/getconnected. When you take a step to fill out the I'm New Here form, you let our team help you get better connected with the ministries of this church that will help you experience the life-changing love of God. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. It's April 5th. And if you don't have a plan to celebrate Easter yet, we invite you to celebrate Easter here with us. We'll have a 10 a.m. service here on our YouTube channel, and then we will be gathering at 10 a.m. on Easter Sunday in our sanctuary for our in-person service. Right after church on Easter Sunday, there's going to be some family activities to celebrate Easter, and there's also going to be a pop-up Easter flower shop so that you can get some of your spring flowers for planting this season here at our Easter pop-up shop. So we invite you to join us for Easter and to be a part of those celebrations. Today's message starts off Holy Week. Today is a day called Palm Sunday, and we'll explain why in a few minutes. But there's also two other days that are set apart in Holy Week. Thursday is set apart as Maundy Thursday. That is April 2nd. And there are two invitations for Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday remembers Jesus' last supper with the disciples and the night that he was betrayed by one of his disciples. And they had a supper, and so we're gonna have a supper. You are invited for dinner here at 6 p.m. on Thursday, April 2nd for a simple supper here in our family center. And then at 7 p.m. we'll be gathering in the sanctuary for our Maundy Thursday worship service. So you're invited to both of those during Holy Week. The next day that is set apart is Good Friday. It's the day where we remember and relive Jesus' final moments, Jesus' crucifixion and Jesus' death on the cross. We worship our way through Good Friday with a community Good Friday service with our friends over at St. Luke's Lutheran Church, and we invite you to worship with us that day. It's at 12 p.m. on Friday, April 3rd at St. Luke's Lutheran Church here in Park Ridge. If you can't join us for any of those extra worship services, but don't want to miss out on the spiritual practice and the opportunity of paying attention and slowing down to Jesus' final days, my invitation for you is to read along on your own time, Matthew chapter 21 to Matthew chapter 28. That will take you from today, Palm Sunday, all the way to the resurrection on Easter Sunday. So I invite you to do that. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app and somebody can read it to you as you are walking the dog or doing the dishes or making your way to work. So those are the invitations for you to slow down and encounter the Easter story with us this year. It might sound a little unconventional, but I promise when you slow down and you pay attention to these final movements and moments of Jesus' life, the power and victory of Easter Sunday morning is that much more powerful and felt. When we slow down, we pay attention to some of the harder moments of the betrayal and the despair of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Whatever your relationship with Jesus has looked like up until this point, today is a great day to start, a great day to begin again and open your hearts and your minds to meeting Jesus this Easter. Let's pray. Lord God, we welcome you into this space of worship to open our eyes to what we haven't seen and open our minds to what we haven't yet believed about who your Son Jesus is. Help us to find you wherever we are today in our doubts, in our certainty, in our hope, and in our fear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And as I mentioned earlier, you can read along with us today or over the next few days to remember the events of Jesus' final days on earth. So Jesus and his disciples, they were on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. Matthew says in his gospel that when they came near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and they did what Jesus had directed. They brought the donkey and the colt and they put their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee." Today, we're going to look at this story in three parts or in three different ways. We're going to look at the context, we're going to look at the crowds, and we're going to look at the questions. Maybe like me, you grew up in church and you are used to hearing this story once a year, the Sunday before Easter, Palm Sunday. But maybe this is a brand new story to you, or maybe you've never really spent much time looking at it, wondering about it, beyond just waving the palm branches on Palm Sunday, shouting Hosanna. So first, we're going to explore the context together. Jesus was gaining popularity and proving himself to be a teacher worth following, and he was making his way into the holy city in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, which would have been his tradition and the tradition of many who had become his followers. He tells the disciples to go get this donkey, this colt, from someone in the village, and he gets on top of this donkey and he starts riding into the city of Jerusalem, and he's got this crowd around him. The image of somebody riding on a horse, or like a horse-adjacent animal, like a donkey, riding into the city, that would have been an image similar to like a conquering king making their way into a city victorious on a war horse. Another ritual that would have been common for the people that were gathered in the city would have been this tradition of, on the anniversary of when somebody had become the king, they would enter into Jerusalem on a path of palm branches, and they would enter into the city on this anniversary of the day they had become the king. So both of these images together, somebody riding on a horse, making their way into Jerusalem, this would have been a reminder, a symbol, a signal for people that this person was important, maybe as important as a king. You know, the other thing they were doing is they were cutting down these branches from trees and they were laying a pathway on the ground. This was an act of honor, an honor of somebody who was important, maybe someone as important as a king. All of these images would have reinforced for the people who were there the idea that Jesus must have been some kind of king. But like everything in the kingdom of God, what is happening is turned upside down. God is continuing to do a new thing through Jesus, taking similar traditions and teachings and expanding their meaning in the rule of this new kingdom here on earth. The kind of king that God sends in is riding on a borrowed donkey, not on a war horse. And Jesus comes ready to wash disciples' feet, not with a sword ready to show military strength. Despite these differences in the image that Jesus was portraying at that moment, the Jewish people would have known the words of the prophet Zechariah, promising that one day a king would come to them just like this, riding on a donkey, humble, into the city. And so they erupt with shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. There's a clip I want you to see from the show The Chosen. The Chosen is this multi-season historical drama that depicts the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth through the vantage point of his friends, his followers, his disciples. This whole series has been crowdfunded and is wildly popular around the world, and you can stream it on different streaming platforms. I want to include the link to this clip in today's show notes so that you can watch it after today's message. If you have a few minutes, spend time with it. And when you watch it, the question I want you to be thinking about is, what do you think of this crowd? So let's talk about this crowd. The text says that a very large crowd gathered, and they cut down branches and they laid their coats down ahead of Jesus and they followed behind Jesus, all the while shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Would a very large crowd on the move shouting, would that feel exciting to you? Like, hey, this is something to be a part of? What's going on over there? Let's go see and check it out. Is that exciting? Or does that scene, does that environment, a crowd on the move shouting, does that make you feel nervous? Like, there's about to be trouble over there. Who knows what that could turn into? Let's stay back. I wonder, what do you think of this crowd? Crowds have a tendency to make people feel uneasy. You can get lost in a crowd. You can get trampled by a crowd. You can get overpowered by a crowd. Whether it's a crowd that's gathering to shout Taylor Swift lyrics at the top of their lungs, or a crowd that is gathered to protest about political action, there's a level of risk to both kinds of crowds. You never really know what's going to happen when a crowd of people gathers. And it's those kinds of questions and feelings that this video clip from The Chosen really helps bring out, because it depicts it. It gives you an image to go with the text that we're getting in the story today. You can sense in this episode how nervous this growing crowd is making the people, the leaders in Jerusalem. In verse 10 in our text today, it says that the whole city was in turmoil. And the Greek word that's translated here, it's sometimes translated as stirred up, but it could also be translated as shook, like the whole city shook. And the meaning behind the word, it's more than just a little nerves. It's this powerful, overtaking feeling like trembling. And the word that Matthew uses, the Greek word, it's the same word he uses again to describe the earth shaking the moment Jesus takes his last breath and the curtain in the temple is torn in two. That same word, shook, the earth shook. It's the same word again he uses when the guards in the garden, when they tremble in fear at the sight of the angel who has come to roll back the stone and reveal Jesus' empty tomb, the guards, they trembled in fear. The whole city shook, wondering aloud to each other, who is this? Who is this Jesus? It's not the first or the last time people are going to ask this question, who is this Jesus? It's not the first or the last time for the Jewish people of Jesus' day, for the disciples who traveled with Jesus or who would be left behind by Jesus, not for the Romans who would hold his trial, and not for us sitting here today. That question continues to linger. Who is this Jesus? And who Jesus is has the power to shake us to our core, because what is happening here is bigger than all of us. The invitation for us today is to wonder about that question and how we might answer it. Who is Jesus, and who is Jesus to me? Is he a teacher, a healer, a prophet? The one the prophet spoke about, the Messiah, a king, a savior. Matthew's gospel invokes each of these aspects of who Jesus is as he tells the story of Jesus of Nazareth and his life and his death and his resurrection. As we enter into this Holy Week and we try to slow down to the moments of Jesus making his way into Jerusalem, knowing full well how this story was going to end. And the moments around the table at the Last Supper, knowing that Jesus' friend would turn him in and betray him. And those moments leading up to the cross, and those moments as Jesus hung on the cross. As we slow down and pay attention to each of these stories that bring us to Easter Sunday and that empty tomb, and the power that Jesus is alive. Is that who Jesus says he is? That Jesus is who he says he is? Just as the scriptures have told us and Jesus has told us? That's the invitation we have today, is explore that question. Who is this Jesus? My hope and prayer is that all people come to know who this Jesus is. And you have a chance, you have an opportunity this week to pay attention to the best and biggest story that we get to tell. It's the one that makes us followers of Jesus. Who is this Jesus? I think if you explore this question along with us and get ready to celebrate that Easter Resurrection Sunday with us, I pray you'll know a little more clearly today than maybe you did yesterday. Who is this Jesus? Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for all of the ways that you are with us as we continue to wrestle with who you are. Would you help us to find confidence in who we know you to be? Help give us compassion as we have curiosity and explore who you are through your scriptures and through your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.